Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram Weekend Edition for Saturday, September 30th, 2023. Biz Buzz. Nada Wax wants to empower Midlanders' employees. Nada Wax, which opened in March at 4500 West Illinois Avenue, offers full-body waxing for women and men as well as after-wax care. According to its owner, born and raised Midlander Megan Perkins, Nada Wax is all about making people feel confident and empowered. Nada Wax uses natural waxing products and emphasizes after-wax care. Tips and tools to take care of your skin during the crucial post-wax period. Quote, the first time you're here, you get a complimentary exfoliating glove, which is a big deal, especially after waxing, and then we send you home with a little card of the things to don't do for 24 hours, end quote, Perkins says. The lady at the drag race. When Perkins was around 10 years old, her parents used to take her to watch drag racing at a track in Penwell, which is southwest of Odessa. In the middle of the dusty, hazy West Texas racetrack, Perkins recalled noticing a woman that would frequently attend races with her husband. Quote, at that time, she looked like she was 6 foot tall. She always wore all white. Her hair was perfect. Her makeup was perfect. Her clothes were like starched and perfect and white, like who wears white in the middle of nowhere during a drag race, end quote, Perkins recalled. Quote, I want to make people feel and look as confident as she was in beauty without too much of it, end quote. Perkins knew she wanted to be in the beauty industry at a young age. She graduated from Midland High School, became a hairstylist at a few local salons, and then started to work in the oil field after she had her son. To this day, Perkins remains a landman title analyst while operating Nada Wax. Empowering women. According to Perkins, she founded Nada for people like esthetician Atira Haynes, who's been waxing for 10 years as a contractor. Perkins and Haynes met in 2020, while Haynes was working at a different salon. The two hit it off immediately. Perkins wanted to create a business plan that allowed an esthetician like her friend Atira a flexible schedule and quality pay. Quote, the whole business model of this place was for people like her, end quote, Megan said, pointing toward Atira. Quote, people who want to have their own business or can't afford to go rent a salon suite, end quote. Both Haynes and Atira share the same goal, making people feel more confident in themselves after waxing. Nada's second waxpert is Aubrey Walker, who doubles as a hairstylist at Midland Park Mall. Quote, I really want to empower women. Like, why can't we empower each other? End quote. Perkins pointed out her, quote, boss babe, end quote, table in the lobby of Nada, a table full of business cards and pamphlets from women-owned businesses around Midland, Odessa. Quote, I just feel like whenever everybody helps everybody, we all thrive, whether that's emotional or financial, end quote, Perkins said. Quote, just do it, end quote. Perkins shared her advice for anyone thinking about starting a small business like a salon. Quote, just do it, end quote. Quote, I spent a year worrying because the pandemic happened, a bunch of businesses in Midland, we all hurt, especially retail salons. End quote, Perkins said. Quote, it was just like, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. The scary will go away and the stress will come in, but just do it, end quote. Haynes says she took the same leap of faith and joined Nada because of Perkins' faith, dedication, work ethic, and intelligence. Landman and business owner. Perkins is the kind of person who thrives when she's the busiest. She's a landman in the oil field, owner of Nada Wax, and mother. Although Perkins says she's learning to balance work in the oil field and Nada Wax, Haynes says she makes it look easy. Haynes says Perkins is spiritual and family-oriented, knowledgeable, and a quick learner, an all-around special person. Quote, you don't meet people like her every day or at all, end quote, Haynes said. Quote, to work for someone that cares about you as a person, end quote. Steve Aoki, Ludacris, other celebs coming to Midland. La Hacienda Event Center is known for bringing big names to the Midland-Odessa community. Acts such as Maluma and Parker McCollum have sold out the venue. and the last 3 months of 2023 prove no different. All tickets can be bought at https://shorturl.at/HIPTW. Treaty Oak Revival. Combine Texas red dirt country with punk and southern rock, earning them more than 1.3 million monthly Spotify listeners and a large fan base. Made up of West Texas native Sam Canty, Lance Vanley, Jeremiah Vanley, Kelly McKay, and Andrew Carey, the band is sure to impress. 8 p.m. October 5th. Luis R. Conriquez, along with Dereyes de la Sierra and Los Tres de la Palma, present an evening of Latin music packed with jazz, world, and classical influences. Conriquez is also known for his multi-instrumental work, passionate performances, and eccentric rhythmic harmonies. 8 p.m. October 6th. American rapper and actor Ludacris brings his award-winning and catchy songs to the Tall City in just a few weeks. Hits such as Act a Fool, Move, Bleep, My Chick Bad, and Blueberry Yum Yum are sure to keep the night going. 8 p.m. October 13th. After earning the title as the highest-grossing electronic dance music artist in North America from tours, Steve Aoki has continued to bring high-octane shows to people all over the world. The artist has collaborated with musicians from all genres and carries one of the largest discographies. 8 p.m. November 10th. Country star Justin Moore will be solo for this performance. The American singer just released Stray Dog, his first album since 2019. With more than 10 years in the industry, get ready for a boot scootin' kind of night. 8 p.m. November 17th. San Jose Norteño leaders Los Tigres del Norte showcase their blend of Mexican and Spanish musical traditions. Instruments such as the marimba, guitar, and accordion are often found throughout performances. The group has sold more than 32 million copies and are a must-see. 8 p.m. November 24th. Jersey Shore star DJ Pauly D coming to the tailgate. Jersey Shore star DJ Pauly D will bring the tunes during October's Basin Brunch held at the tailgate. DJ Pauly D joined the reality show cast in 2009. Quickly, the Seaside Heights-based crew became a household name, booking appearances and parties across the nation. Terms like Meatball, a short, bulky woman who loves to party, and GTL, Gym Tan Laundry, became common-day slang. Basin Brunch, Midland's very own Vegas-style darty, day party, takes over the tailgate once a month for an all-day and evening celebration packed with mimosa towers, eccentric cocktails, and so much more. In the past, the crew has brought in fellow famous mix artists such as Leslie Santos, DJ Drama, the Doe Twins, Paulina La Diva, and many more. DJ Pauly D will headline October 21st for the Pop-Ups Halloween Party. Ticket sales will be announced soon on www.instagram.com/basinbrunch. More information will also be provided then. MISD Police Chief Ortiz resigns. Midland ISD Police Chief Carlos Ortiz has resigned after around 3 months on the job. Ortiz told the Reporter-Telegram the decision came as Midland ISD administration was preventing him from doing the job the way he wanted to do it, including telling him when and where officers would be assigned and security measures that he could put into place. Ortiz, a 30-year law enforcement veteran, said that he answered to Superintendent Stephanie Howard and she wasn't living up to the comments she made when he was hired. Quote, we don't tell him what to do, end quote, Howard said at the press conference on June 26th. Ortiz said Friday that his biggest thing as the number one law enforcement officer in the district is to be able to put measures in place, and if the district couldn't put those measures into place, quote, they need to find themselves a yes man. I have 30 years of experience. I don't need a civilian to tell me how to do my job, end quote. Ortiz said he sent in a list of things he needed to be able to do his job effectively or he would resign. The district, he said, responded by accepting his letter of resignation. Ortiz said he was being told what hours officers could work, that officers could not be moved from campus to campus to become more familiar with the schools inside the district, and that the district wouldn't consider a clear backpack policy. He said he wanted to put measures in place to give law enforcement and campus leaders layers of security options. He also said that administration didn't have his back. When it came to putting those measures into place, including with principals and other campus leaders, a group of law enforcement leaders, including Midland Police Department Chief Seth Herman and Midland County Sheriff David Kreiner, helped Midland ISD with its selection of Ortiz. He has 27 years of law enforcement experience, including work with the Department of Public Safety and Border Patrol. Ortiz is also a Marine Corps veteran, having received multiple awards and commendations. He is a graduate of Stanton High School. Quote, I can't be here saying we are doing all these things we need to be doing, end quote, Ortiz said. Quote, I don't want to be like the police chief in Uvalde answering questions I can't defend, end quote. The Reporter-Telegram has reached out to Midland ISD for a comment. Joint effort required to get Midland ISD where it needs to be. Let me start by saying the goal of every school board member should be to provide the very best educational opportunity to the students and parents who entrust their children to those of us in public education. The mission of MISD is to provide an environment where, quote, all students will graduate prepared and ready for college or a career, end quote. We have an inherent responsibility to our students and their parents to meet each student at his or her level and move them forward. Sometimes that requires more than the standard 1 year of growth to get students to grade level. I really appreciate the hardworking teachers and staff of MISD for their attention to detail and the many long hours they invest in our students. During my tenure, the board established goals and measures to focus our approach on better student outcomes. Regarding our business community, first, I would like to say thanks for the time and treasure they currently invest in MISD. It takes a concerted effort by all of us to improve student outcomes to the point we feel they reflect who we are as a community. In the newly adopted strategic plan, the board and administration approved three important themes. The third theme, which is, quote, engage and act, end quote, states, quote, we engage the entire community through clear and actionable communication that cultivates trust and partnership, end quote. A key word in this theme is partnership. The business community of Midland is the leading provider of energy in the United States. This industry is not only labor-intensive, but also demands the brightest minds for an ever-changing technological field. We do change the world in Midland, Texas. Our business leaders need to be able to recruit and retain great employees. As MISD continues to strive toward better outcomes, we must accept and/or ask for partners to come alongside us and push for progress. I believe there are several opportunities that will allow MISD to improve student outcomes. I'll start by thanking Midland College and their partners who created the Pre-K Academy at Midland College. I believe the best way to attack reading deficits in our district is to open more high-quality seats in our early education program. I attended every meeting of the bond committee and am a strong proponent of the bond approved by the current board. I believe one of the strongest pieces of this bond that gets somewhat overlooked is the opportunity for us to open 1,500 more seats to reach students very early in their educational career. Next, I believe there is an opportunity in both content and support. A couple of years ago, the board reinstated the literacy specialist position at each campus. I believe this addition has had good returns. I also believe the current change to a phonics-based curriculum will pay dividends for our students moving forward. In the recent past, we had partner schools that were using the phonics-based approach, and we saw exciting gains. I look forward to seeing the improved outcomes following this first year with the changed focus to curriculum. Also, along these lines, our superintendent recently reconstructed the MISD organizational chart. She was able to cut some positions and installed some new ones to make the staffing change cost neutral. As a result of the change, MISD now has content coordinators who are a resource to our teaching staff. In a recent board meeting, the goal progress measures for math showed to miss their targets. I believe there is an opportunity to add math interventionists on each campus that can provide not only content support to our teachers, but also allow them to schedule breakout sessions with small groups of students who have similar deficiencies. My last comment towards content and support is also tied to a successful bond campaign. I believe grade reconfiguration from pre-K through 5th, 6th through 8th, and 9th through 12th will provide us an opportunity to align curriculum while also strongly supporting our professional learning communities for our teachers. The last area to highlight for me concerns career and technical education, CTE. I have and will continue to be an advocate for our continuing partnership with Midland College and future growth of the program. We have seen for a while the need and ability for our high school graduates to step right into industry and earn high wages with career opportunities. We can serve not only our students who do not aspire to further their education in college, but at the same time prepare them with certificates, experience, and firsthand knowledge that will benefit our local economy and our workforce. Recently, I joined administrators from both MISD and MC to tour the CTE facility for Amarillo Independent School District. Their facilities were amazing, but their opportunity for students was even better. In Midland, where we are the largest suppliers of energy, we must get to the leading edge of training students who have the desire to go straight into the workforce. Let me close by saying to get to where we want to go and be who we want to be, it will take a joint effort amongst our public school district, our students, their parents, our community, and industry. I feel strongly that we have made a great selection for the superintendent who has staying power with us. Together, we can provide consistency and unity and see long-term successes for student outcomes. Optimize student outcomes, deliver quality academic opportunities. Access to quality education and opportunity can have a profound impact on our children's lives. We are currently undergoing a technological transition from computing power to automation processes. This transition is shaking and remaking careers across every industry. To ensure our children are well prepared for career opportunities, we must embrace the changes around us while having the vision to conquer the chaos that change brings. It's not necessary to reinvent the wheel. However, we must adapt to industrial, economic, and generational changes efficiently and prioritize needs based on those changes. Our shared goal as a school district should be to optimize student outcomes and deliver quality academic opportunities for all students. Using all resources in our toolbox is essential, whether it is optimizing our 1882 partnerships, expanding our success at early college, or holding MISD administration accountable for providing essentials to our traditional public schools. Our focus should be on improving student outcomes. Also, we should replicate successful district programs in places where we are struggling. This will not only enhance educational outcomes, but also prepare students adequately for entering the workforce. As a successful business owner, I understand the dynamics of our unique workforce. While a portion of Midland's workforce is transient, an ever-growing number of families are making Midland their long-term home. To meet the evolving needs of this growing population and provide quality education for our students, bold leadership is required. With more than 15 years of real-world experience in education, I have proven myself a competent, magnetic leader. I have the experience, knowledge, and willingness to bring bold leadership to the MISD Board of Trustees. As Stephen Covey states, quote, leadership is a choice, not a position, end quote. As a parent with three young children attending Scarborough Elementary, I am keenly aware of the challenges and opportunities within MISD. As a family man and successful business owner, I understand the value of a quality education and how it significantly impacts one's life and opportunities. To build a qualified workforce, we must establish best practices for Midland education. While career, college, and military training are essential components of the education system, there is a difference between training and education. Although both are equally important and interconnected, they are not the same. Traditional education in the quote, three R's, end quote, is fundamental in molding students into engaged and competent citizens. Knowing about the blessings of American citizenship and responsibility are not inherent traits and must be taught. Learning about these values, freedoms, responsibilities, and principles results in a powerful and profound improvement in student outcomes, citizen engagement, and overall community quality. It is our responsibility to prepare our students not only for the workforce, but also for community life as proud American citizens and Texans. It is essential to think about the bigger picture and entire system while developing education policies. But we must always remember our children are not just data points. While making data-based decisions is important, we must prioritize the impact of decisions on students and teachers while creating practical and effective solutions. It is vital to utilize innovative technology in today's world, but we should never lose sight of the human aspect. As a board, we must always center our actions around the needs of the students, parents, and teachers. These children are the future of our city, and it is our responsibility to provide them with the same opportunities we had to achieve the American dream. We need to focus on what we can control and keep moving forward step by step. As a native Midlander, successful business owner, Midland Lee graduate, and father of kids attending MISD, I am excited about this opportunity to serve Midland. I am asking for your vote. Vote Joshua Gwynn, November 7th. Early voting starts October 23rd. Gas prices dip from week to week in Midland. Gas prices in Texas dropped this week. However, the year-over-year gap in gas prices continues to grow, according to AAA Texas. Midland, after gas prices decreased by 5 cents, remains home to the fifth most expensive gas prices statewide, $3.43. Quote, gas prices are trending lower this week, but most drivers probably won't notice much savings at the pump, end quote. AAA Texas reported. Quote, the year-over-year statewide average price gap increased by 2 cents per gallon, with regular unleaded 27 cents more than 1 year ago in the Lone Star State. Crude oil prices continue to be more expensive, hovering above $90 per barrel, due to tightening global supply. Demand for fuel increased week to week, but gasoline stocks also saw a slight increase. Moving forward, gas prices may fluctuate, with some relief possibly on the way when winter blend gas, which is usually cheaper to produce, makes its way to market in the coming weeks, end quote. The two cheapest gas prices averages in West Texas and the state were found in Abilene, $3.24, and San Angelo, $3.26. Four of the five most expensive fuel price averages statewide were also found in West Texas. El Paso, $3.71, Amarillo, $3.55, Lubbock, $3.52, and Midland. Fuel prices in Amarillo dropped by 11 cents. The drop was 7 cents in El Paso and 6 cents in Lubbock. Odessa's $3.36 price average remains 7 cents lower than the average in Midland. AAA reported that while gas prices dipped in some Texas cities this week, they remain much higher than they were a year ago. Average gas prices are 17 cents higher in Abilene, 20 cents higher in Amarillo, 23 cents higher in Odessa, 28 cents higher in Midland, 31 cents higher in San Angelo, 35 cents higher in Lubbock, and 46 cents higher in El Paso. Texas is home to the third cheapest fuel in the state, with an average price of $3.38. That is an increase of 27 cents compared 1 year ago. Permian, Texas, again see steepest drops in rig activity. Texas and the Permian Basin led the U.S. rig count lower for a second week. Oilfield services firm Baker Hughes said Friday the U.S. rig count it has issued weekly since 1944 sank 7 rigs to 623. A second consecutive weekly decline and the lowest level since February 2022. The count is 142 rigs, or 19% below the 765 rigs reported last year. The rig count fell 9 rigs during September, Reuters reported, the smallest monthly decline since April, but the fifth consecutive monthly decline. For the third quarter, the rig count was down 51 rigs, down from the 81 rig decline in the second quarter, according to Reuters. The U.S. rig count has fallen for 3 consecutive quarters, Reuters reported. The number of rigs drilling for crude fell 5 rigs to 502, the lowest since February 2022, and 102 rigs below the 604 seeking crude a year ago. Oil rigs fell for a 10th consecutive month and third straight quarter. The number of rigs drilling for natural gas dropped 2 to 116, 43 rigs below the 159 reported last year. Gas rigs rose by 1 from August to September after falling 13 rigs in August, Reuters said. Texas saw the steepest decline among producing states, falling 8 rigs to 304. That's 56 fewer rigs than the 360 rigs active across the state last year. New Mexico added 2 rigs for 102. Oklahoma, 2, and Pennsylvania, 1, joined Texas in seeing a decline, while Louisiana, 1, and North Dakota, 1, joined New Mexico in seeing gains. The Permian Basin led declines among major producing basins, falling 5 rigs to 312, the lowest level since March 2022, according to Baker Hughes. It's also 32 fewer than the 344 rigs drilling across the region a year ago. Lee County, New Mexico, remains the most active county in the Permian, with 58 rigs, up 2 from the week. Eddy County, New Mexico, followed with 43 rigs for a third week. Martin County saw the sharpest increase, rising 3 rigs to 41 for the week. Reeves County dropped 1 rig for 27, and Loving County had 26 rigs for a second week. Midland County reported the steepest decline among Permian Basin counties, falling 3 rigs to 24. Glasscock, Howard, and Ward counties each reported 12 rigs, unchanged for Glasscock, up 2 for Howard, and down 2 for Ward. Pecos County saw renewed activity with 1 rig at work within county lines, while Borden County saw no activity with the loss of its 1 rig. Enverus Foundations, part of the Energy Focus software as a service firm Enverus, said its U.S. rig count reached 679 during the week ending September 27th, down by 1 rig from the previous week's high point. The count is down by 9 rigs, or 1%, in the last month, and down 24%, or 212 rigs, year over year. In the last week, the Permian saw the largest decline, dropping by 4 rigs to 295. For the first time since February 2022, the monthly average in the basin was below 300. Permian rig levels spent April 2020 through February 2022 in sub-300 territory, with the drop from 390 in March 2020 driven by COVID-19 lockdowns. There have been as many as 348 rigs in the basin this year, but drilling activity has been falling since April. Also in the last week, 2 rigs were dropped in the Gulf Coast for a total of 71. That region has seen the largest absolute drop in rigs in the last year at 49, or 41% of its year-ago active rigs. Week over week, the Anadarko Basin was flat at 47 rigs, and that basin is down YOY by the highest percentage of any major plays at 42%, or 34 rigs. The Williston, DJ, and Appalachian Basins added 1 rig each in the last week for totals of 37, 16, and 43, respectively. The Williston has been the most resilient in the last year, tallying a drop of only 6 rigs, or 14%. Midland again leads nation in employment growth. Midland has led the nation in over-the-year percentage gains in employment for 8 straight months to open 2023. Midland's yearly employment gains were 5.3% in August, which topped Huntsville, Alabama, 4.6%, Ann Arbor, Michigan, Charleston, North Charleston, South Carolina, Las Vegas, Henderson, Paradise, Nevada, and Trenton, New Jersey. All showed employment growth of 4.5%. The closest Texas metropolitan area was Dallas-Fort Worth, 3.8%. The Bureau of Labor Statistics also showed the number of employees on non-farm payrolls in Midland grew from 114,400 to 120,500 from August 2022 to August 2023. In Odessa, employees jumped from 77,700 to 80,200. In August, non-farm payroll employment increased over the year in 66 metropolitan areas, decreased in one area, and was essentially unchanged in 322 areas. What about the employment rate? As previously reported, Midland's 2.8% unemployment rate was the lowest in the state, but the BLS reported Wednesday that Midland's jobless rate wasn't close to the lowest in the nation. The BLS also reported that at least 10 different states had jobless rates of 2.8% or lower, and three entire states, North Dakota, Maryland, and New Hampshire, showed unemployment rates below 2.0%. North Dakota's was the lowest at 1.5%. The BLS report also showed nine metropolitan areas across the county with August jobless rates below 2.0% and a total of 221 areas below the U.S. unemployment rate of 3.9%. Percentage employment growth. In August, year over year, West Texas, Midland 5.3, Odessa 3.2, Abilene 1.5, Lubbock 1.5, San Angelo 1.4, Amarillo 0.4, also Houston, The Woodlands, Sugarland 2.7, state average 2.8. Number of employees on non-farm payrolls. West Texas, Lubbock 158,200, Amarillo 125,800, Midland 120,500, Odessa 80,200, Abilene 76,400, San Angelo 51,600. Midland Basin counties dominate Texas production. Four counties that are part of the Midland Basin accounted for more than 42% of oil production in June inside the state of Texas, according to the preliminary statistics from the Railroad Commission. The RRC reported that Midland, Martin, Upton, and Howard counties were the four highest producing counties and combined for the production of 46.581 million barrels of oil. Midland and Martin counties again were the top two and the only counties in the state to reach 10 million barrels during the month. The RRC reported 17.721 million barrels, or 16.25% of the statewide total, were produced in June inside Midland County. Another 15.027 million barrels were produced in Martin County. Midland and Martin combined for 32.749 million barrels, or 30.03% of the state's 109.053 million barrels, according to the RRC's preliminary reported total volume. There were 7.384 million barrels produced in Upton County and 6.447 million barrels produced in Howard County, according to RRC. Midland, Martin, Upton, and Howard are contiguous counties in the central to eastern part of the Permian Basin. The Railroad Commission of Texas reported that nine of the top 10 oil-producing counties were in the Permian Basin, and that those nine counties combined to produce more than 62% of the oil produced statewide during the month. Reeves County again was first with 82.736 billion cubic feet of natural gas produced in June. Webb County was second with 74.076 billion, and Midland County was third with 65.341 billion. The RRC reported seven Permian Basin counties in the top 10 statewide. Statewide, the RRC showed preliminary production of 904.389 billion cubic feet of natural gas produced in April. In June 2022, the preliminary production of gas was 827.921 billion cubic feet. The updated total was 958.474 billion cubic feet. The RRC also reported the preliminary reported total of oil produced in June 2022 was 107.08 million barrels. The updated total was 125.461 million. June 2023, Texas top 10 crude oil producing counties ranked by preliminary production. County barrels: Midland 17,721,299, Martin 15,027,978, Upton 7,384,650, Howard 6,447,427, Karnes 5,780,648. Loving 5,611,427, Glasscock 4,811,513, Reeves, 4,397,738. Reagan, 3,609,076. Andrews, 3,137,019. June 2023, Texas top 10 total gas, gas well, gas, and casing head, producing counties ranked by preliminary production. County, total, gas, MCF. Reeves, 82,736,337. Webb, 74,076,735. Midland, 65,341,364. Panola, 47,491,675. Martin, 41,384,684. Loving, 41,045,609. Culberson, 38,432,816. Harrison, 33,878,447. Upton, 31,953,626. Reagan, 30,431,264. June 2023, Texas top 10 total condensate producing counties ranked by preliminary production. County condensate, BBLS. Reeves, 5,932,565. Loving, 4,200,669. Culberson, 3,164,629. DeWitt, 1,242,600. Carnes, 1,200,266. Webb, 911,458. Dimmitt, 769,163. Live Oak, 539,502. Ward, 396,218. LaSalle, 367,419. Source, Texas Railroad Commission. Life Tributes. Mary Lee Cowden Kellogg, Dallas. Mary Lee Cowden Kellogg passed away peacefully at home in Dallas on September 16, 2023, surrounded by her family and long-term caregivers. She was 92. Mary Lee Cowden, on her May 4, 1931, Midland, Texas, birth certificate. With her late husband, Walter Clement Kellogg, Mumsy had five children: Lee Kellogg Barfield, Ann Kellogg Schooler, Guy Kellogg, Luke Kellogg, and Abby Kellogg Maliski. She is also survived by 13 grandchildren, five great-grandchildren, and a host of friends and admirers. Her first years as the youngest child of Guy Cowden and Annie Mae Patterson Cowden were on a family ranch. She guided them all toward their best selves and families of their own, which include spouses Matt Schooler, Laura Kellogg, Este Kellogg, and Chris Maliski, deceased, as well as Boo Boo's grandchildren, Bo Barfield, Annabelle Barfield Nguyen, Mary Christina Schooler, Sam Schooler, Emily Kellogg, Catherine Kellogg, Guy Tom Kellogg, Cece Kellogg, Coley Kellogg, Tom Kellogg, Max Maliski, Josie Maliski, and Guy Maliski. The family asks that those who wish to honor her life and memory make charitable contributions to UT Southwestern Medical Center, care of the Peter O'Donnell Jr. Brain Institute, Dallas, Texas, 214-648-2344. Stephen Church. Stephen Douglas Church, 68, of Stanton, Texas, passed away on September 28, 2023. A visitation will begin at 5 o'clock p.m. on September 30th at Gilbreth Funeral Home in Stanton. In lieu of a funeral, the family will hold an ash scattering ceremony as per Mr. Church's wishes. Stephen Church was born on March 15, 1955, to Douglas and Christine Church. He is survived by his daughter, Jennifer Greer, husband, Greg Greer, their daughters, Briley and Jolie Greer, his son, Jeremy Church, wife, Courtney Church, and their children, Bradley Beck and Alex Church, and his children's mother, Debbie Hildreth McMurray, his brother, Scott Church, wife, Stacy Church, their children, Michael, his wife, Claire, Skylar, her husband, Esteban, Kirsten, his sister, Shelley Baird, her daughters, Aubria, husband Joseph, and Ashley, her husband Jorge, and his great-nieces, Callie, Layla, Cheyenne, and Olive. He is preceded in death by his parents, Douglas and Christine Church, and his most faithful dog, Sandy. The family would like to express their eternal gratitude to Layman Lusk Sanchez, Texas State Veterans Home. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to the Layman Lusk Sanchez, Texas State Veterans Home, or the Disabled Veterans of America Association. Arrangements are under the supervision of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Graydon Yester. Graydon E. Grady Yester was born August 17, 1927, at his parents' home in the rural community of Trail Run, Ohio. His parents, William M. and Blanche Hoden Shield Yester, Marty and Grady were blessed with three children, Richard, Michael, and Catherine. Grady is survived by son Michael, four grandchildren, eight great-grandchildren, and several nieces and nephews. He has been preceded in death by his parents, wife Martha of 69-plus years, son Richard, and daughter Catherine. Michael, Gail, grandson Reed, Whitney, and son Harrison Reed, grandson Scott, Charlotte, their children Stella B. and Wesley Scott all live in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Son-in-law Richard Van Groningen, grandson Corey, Kristen, and sons Lane and Hayes. Granddaughter Emily Williams, Kyle, and their three children, Hudson Thomas, Parker Graydon, and Blake Catherine live in Fresno, California. At Grady's request, no memorial service is planned. Martha's and his remains will be joined and committed to the wind and earth in an area of beautiful Ohio where they lived their early lives. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory in Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Heidi Olivia South. Heidi Olivia South passed away on September 27, 2023, at the age of 81, in Bellefonte, Pennsylvania. She was born on May 5, 1942, in Whitehall, Wisconsin, to Hiram B. and Joan M. Haig. Heidi is survived by her daughters Jennifer South and Joni South Shelley, son-in-law Kurt Shelley, granddaughter Claire Shelley, and grandson Nicholas South. She is also survived by four sisters, Lynn Foss, Jerry, Joe Braun, Kristen Helgeson, Tom, and Jan Socorro, and one brother, Mark H. Haig, Sue, as well as numerous nieces, nephews, and cousins. She was preceded in death by her parents and her husband. At her request, no funeral service will be held. Flowers and condolences may be sent to 428 East Lamb Street, Bellefonte, Pennsylvania, 16823, or donations may be made to a charity of your choice. Blanche A. Lawrence. Blanche A. Lawrence, age 92, of Midland, Texas, went to be with the Lord September 26, 2023. Blanche was born in Brookston, Texas, on January 23, 1931, to James and Edna Allen. Blanche is the mother of six adult children, five of whom are living, and they are Karen Williams, North Richland Hills, Texas, Charles Lawrence, Fort Worth, Texas, Aldrich Lawrence, Midland, Texas, Ruby Lawrence, White Wright, Grayson County, Texas, Barbara Lawrence, Tomball, Texas. Preceding her in death is her fourth child, St. Julian Lawrence. She is also the grandmother of 10 grandchildren and six great-grandchildren. Blanche is one of 10 siblings, seven including herself are deceased. They are James Welton Allen, J.W., passed away as an infant, Para Lee Allen Gray, James Melvin Allen, Robert Lewis Allen, Irma L. Allen, Margaret Allen Hughes. Her surviving siblings are Fanny Swain, Amarillo, Texas, Billy Joe Allen, Midland, Texas, Donald Allen, Lubbock, Texas. A funeral service will be held October 7, 2023, at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home Chapel, 1502 North La Mesa Road, Midland, Texas, 79701 at 11 o'clock a.m. Interment will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens Cemetery. Funeral arrangements have been entrusted to Avalos, Sanchez, and Thomas Funeral Home. Online condolences can be made at asanchezTFH.com. Prices see weekly gain despite profit-taking. Crude prices gave way to profit-taking after reaching their highest levels of the year and seeing the strongest quarter since Russia invaded Ukraine 18 months ago. West Texas Intermediate on the New York Mercantile Exchange fell 3 of 5 trading days, but a $3.29 jump Wednesday helped give prices a gain for the week. WTI opened the week by dropping 35 cents before rising 71 cents Tuesday and $3.29 Wednesday before giving back $1.97 Thursday and 92 cents Friday to close the week at $90.79 per barrel. That's up from $90.03 at last Friday's close. The posted price ended the week at $87.27, according to Plains All American. Natural gas rose 4 of 5 trading days, approaching $2.95 per MCF Thursday. Henry Hub futures on the NYMEX saw an 11-cent jump Wednesday, followed by an additional 5-cent rise Thursday. Henry Hub futures ended the week at $2.929 per MCF, up from $2.637 at last Friday's close. Quote, "We are in a good price market right now, but we got there because OPEC Plus removed 2.5 million barrels a day from the market," end quote. Lance Roberson, chief executive officer of Endeavor Energy Resources, told the Reporter Telegram after participating in the, quote, "conversation with a CEO," end quote, program at the Permian Basin Petroleum Association's annual meeting. Quote, "It feels a little fragile to us. What would happen should OPEC Plus add those barrels back?" end quote. He continued, quote, "The real risk is underinvestment to the tune of $2 trillion to $3 trillion over the last few years. That will really impact the world. If world economies unify and grow, we will really struggle to meet demand," end quote. Bruce Bullock, director of the McGuire Energy Institute and Southern Methodist University's Cox School of Business, told the Reporter Telegram by telephone, quote, "Everyone expected prices to be where they are, but they got there sooner than expected," end quote. "Prices are seeing a bit of a downside," he added, "but nothing too significant." He predicted prices could face headwinds in the form of policies and global geopolitics. Quote, "After an amazing week, month, and quarter, oil was ready for some profit-taking," end quote. Edward Moya, senior market analyst, The Americas with Oanda, wrote in his daily newsletter, quote, "Energy traders quickly realized this wasn't the time for oil to rally above the $100 a barrel level, so they are cautiously locking in some profits." Also supporting the minor drop was the EIA report that U.S. output from the Permian Basin hit an all-time high. Quote, "Oil isn't going to have a major pullback given how tight the market will remain following the Russian fuel curbs and on expectation China's golden week travel will boost jet fuel demand. Brent crude should have major buyers awaiting ahead of the $94 a barrel level," end quote.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Saturday, September 30th, 2023. Religion. Modern correlations to golden calf cited. Shepherd and Taylor said Israelites' lack of faith provoked God's wrath, by Bob Campbell. Moses told the story of the golden calf in Exodus 32 to show the ease with which sin may be entered into and the wrath of God that will ensue. Ministers Scott Shepherd and Vonnie Taylor say the Israelites' error in the story was their lack of faith. The first thing we have to remember about the children of Israel was that they had spent 400 plus years in Egyptian captivity, said Shepherd, minister of One Hope Church of Christ in Midland. Generations had been born and died while there, and the Egyptian culture had rubbed off. Oh, they still believed in God, but they also believed in the gods of Egypt. Yes, they were thankful to leave Egypt and the tyranny of bondage. But when Moses was too long up on Mount Sinai, the people became scared and distraught and told Aaron to build a god to go before them. Shepherd said Aaron, Moses' younger brother and the high priest, had the people remove their ear jewelry for him to melt and form into a golden calf. Here are a people who had been chosen by God to be his people, he said. They had been liberated from Egypt and were on their way to a promised land that God was giving to them. He had gotten them through the Red Sea using an amazing miracle. He had fed them with manna and quail every day, in a desert, no less. He had given them water, once from a rock, but yet, where was their faith? Instead of trusting God, they chose to take matters into their own hands and turn back to their Egyptian roots. Many gods in Egypt were fashioned after bulls, so the golden calf was a natural choice. If God, through Moses, was not going to respond, they would make themselves an idol to lead them on. Shepherd said the lesson for contemporary Christians is that people too often run ahead of God and seek their own solutions. We have to wait. We grow impatient and we settle for a quick fix, all the while missing out of the blessings that God may have in store for us down the road, he said. As the old saying goes, we stop one shovel load short of hitting the gold. Anything or any person can become a golden calf, anything we allow to take the place in our lives and hearts that only God should hold. We must be careful that in our quest for life to its fullest, we don't allow golden calves to creep into our hearts. The Reverend Taylor, pastor of Central Baptist Church, said Moses interceded to persuade God not to destroy all the Israelites, just as Jesus Christ intercedes now for repentant Christians when they sin. What we can learn from this story is that God wants to be our only God, and we suffer his wrath when we choose other gods, Reverend Taylor said. I think Aaron from the beginning was a somewhat unwilling partner because Moses had had to convince him to be his high priest. I never get the feeling that he was all in. Explaining that sin often results from taking the path of least resistance, Taylor said the crowd was clamoring and it was easy for Aaron to give in. Elevating the golden calf to a godlike status and worshiping it was the supreme act of apostasy, he said. It was the rejection of a faith that they had at one time confessed. They were fortunate that Moses showed up when he did, and that he convinced God to change his mind about wiping them out. Taylor said people today make idols of such things as money, cars, houses, and public acclaim. It's anything that takes our eyes off God, he said. If we're not careful and we continue to do things that anger and frustrate him, we can find ourselves in the same situation in our lives and in our society today. Genius, a term often incorrectly applied. High Intelligence, Worthless Without Pursuit of Virtue by Bob Campbell. Genius is a word that gets thrown around a lot, sometimes appropriately, but often not. We should be selective in our use of it because a genius is someone whose thoughts change the world, like Newton, Einstein, Tesla, internet inventors Vinton Cerf and Bob Kahn, and DNA discoverers James Watson, Francis Crick, Maurice Wilkins, and Rosalind Franklin. Dante, Shakespeare, Michelangelo, Da Vinci, Mozart, Wagner, Calvin, and Luther should also be counted in literature, art, music, and theology, because their achievements were made in the pursuit of virtue. And without that goal, genius is ultimately worthless or even dangerous. Mahatma Gandhi and Abraham Lincoln were the two greatest lawyers because they represented whole nations and brought them through very tough times to greatly improved outcomes. There are many examples in world history of people who used their giftedness to do great harm because they were narcissistic and loved power above every human consideration. They worshiped themselves, and the list pops easily to mind. The world is heavily populated now with such people who would do a lot more damage if they could. So, who was the greatest genius? Standing alone at the summit is Jesus Christ, who applied his sublime intelligence and great manly courage to set an example of how to live and treat others and to show mankind the path toward heaven. Jesus, as God incarnate, was not only surprisingly brilliant, he acted out the ultimate pursuit of virtue by suffering egregiously and giving his life for the expiation of the sins of the world for all time. He was the one with the Creator, while the others I have mentioned were merely creations. From the beginning, people have striven all their lives to improve themselves in every imaginable way, while all along the path to greatness in the eyes of God was in humble service to others. God, You're So Good, by Landon Coleman, pastor at Emmanuel Baptist Church. Maybe you learned the following children's song when you were young. God, You're So Good, God, You're So Good, God, You're So Good, You're so good to me. There is a mountain of biblical theology crammed into this short, simple song. In support of the idea that God is, in fact, so good, consider the words of the psalmist, "You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes." Psalm 119, verse 68. I came across this verse in our current sermon series at Emmanuel. Notice that the psalmist says two things about God in the first part of the verse 68. First, the psalmist insists that God is good. Goodness marks God's character. Goodness marks God's nature. God's goodness is both the source of goodness in the world and the standard of goodness in the world. God's goodness is the basis of his steadfast love, his kindness, his mercy, his grace, and his faithfulness. If one denies the fundamental goodness of God, a mountain of theology will collapse. Hence, the psalmist reminds us that God is good. Second, the psalmist insists that God does good. You are good and do good. In other words, God's goodness is not a something God keeps to himself. Rather, God's goodness is an attribute that sustains the eternal relationship between Father, Son, and Spirit. And God's goodness is an attribute that overflows from the triune God to his creation. In his character, God is good. And in his relationship to creation, God does good. That's the first part of verse 68. Now consider the second part of verse 68 and notice that it is built on the first part of verse 68. You are good and do good. teach me your statutes. In the midst of the psalmist, there is a direct connection between the inherent goodness of God's nature and the way God relates to his creation, specifically the way he relates to the creations he created in his image. The psalmist believed that the one true God had spoken to human beings, and the psalmist believed that God's word to humanity was a good word. Thus, the psalmist made a request of God. He asked God to teach him his statutes. The context of Psalm 119 is important to the way we understand the psalmist's request in verse 68. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible, clocking in at an impressive 176 verses. Almost every verse in this massive acrostic poem references the Word of God. Within Psalm 119, God's Word is referred to as God's statutes, commandments, law, precepts, word, ways, testimonies, and rules. All of these words and verses refer to the written Word of God, the Bible. Now step back and consider Psalm 119, 68 in the broader context of Psalm 119. The psalmist insists that God is good. The psalmist insists that God does good. The psalmist has an unshakable confidence that God's goodness is reflected in God's word. Thus he asks God to help him understand his word. Do you share the faith of the psalmist? Do you rest in the goodness of God? Do you see the goodness of God in this world and in your life? Do you want God to help you understand his good word? In a subsequent post, I will talk about how the people of God ought to respond to the truths of Psalm 119, verse 68.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.